Good evening. What a nice long intro. This is Veronica Entwistle. You're tuned in to Radiance by Design. Again, this is a show about you. I don't know why no one is calling in. I'm assuming that you're out there. Are you out there? So what we're talking about is how you can choose your radiance. And as you choose your radiance, you can literally shift how your life is going. Before I started this show, we were talking to the guides, and they were saying that this is a time. My gosh, this is noisy out there. So we can hear all the planes and trucks. But anyway, we seem to be in the heart of the matter. But the guides were saying how right now the frequencies are shifting at such a wild rate that there could be many, many miracles going on. The miracles would be the awareness in people that if you can change the energy, you can change the reality of illness, mental health, even poverty, that sort of thing. The greatest blocks that we have are our own, are they not? So what they're suggesting tonight is that we work with some of the frequencies and have them move through our body, mind, and as we do the structures, we'll move them there as well. I just sent out this morning to some of you who are really into sound healing and so on, a link that someone sent to me about a fellow who is a musician, and he managed to get involved and prove how specific frequencies, when sent in the right kind of fashion. Now, he gave numbers, and you'd have to see it to get the numbers. It's a TED Talk. And he was saying that the frequencies, when set up at a certain oscillation, a certain resonance, actually broke apart the deepest cells of cancer, and especially in children, where it would be without toxic chemicals, without all kinds of things. And so what happened is they worked it through university labs, and they've done some pretty official backup material. Now, you and I know about HARP, which is an organization that sends pretty negative frequencies around our world to create disruptions. And we know how awful the sonar has been under the water and affecting, say, dolphins and whales and cetaceans and other sea critters. But by the same token, that carefully calculated, the right resonances can be sent out to, especially when they're aimed at specific problems, to literally break the cells. And some of the pictures on this link, this is a TED Talk, and I'll see if I can get his name before the end of the show so you can find the TED Talk yourselves. But it's just talking about how if you can turn that around, instead of it being a destructive element, it can be aiming towards cells that need to be changed. And they've worked with it on MRSA, another really dangerous cell obstructions or illnesses and so on. It's the same You know, it's the same kind of thing that hurts the animals, the sea animals, or hurts our life, turned consciously into another kind of resonance, and it can heal a lot. And that sort of reminded me, I loved it. I sent it off to a number of my friends who are very much into sound healing. But also, what it made me think about is that these huge downloads that are coming through the universes are really shocking these days. And if you and I allow ourselves to feel their presence running through our body mind, we can literally blast aside some of, we can use them, and they are resonant. They are also light, light and resonance. And we can use those to blast aside some of the more dense pockets in our body mind. Want to try it? Remember that you're a vibrational vehicle of light. And one of the things the guys were talking about is to be a vibrational vehicle of light is much, what would we call it, much easier these days, because enough people have broken free from those, the tightness of the way our body-mind structures used to be, that it's kind of contagious. We talked last week a lot about empathy, and it's very, very contagious when you break the patterns that confine or keep a human being locked in a position that is really not very evolved or not very transformational. And somebody starts to break free because they had the intention, the consciousness to use these amazing frequencies that are moving through your body mind. How do you use them? Anyway, I'll just finish that sentence. We'll go back in and figure out how to do it. But if you use those consciously, you can swish them through your body mind and your vibrational vehicle of light. If you looked at it, if you closed your eyes and imagine seeing a number of people, all being in animals too, but let's just stick with people just to make it a little bit more simplistic at this point, and to see all those beings wafting, radiant, moving those energies that are flowing all around them through their body mind, and as such, as the resonances move through the body mind, the outflow, the aura, the presentation of your energy out there wafts. And you can see, if you can imagine, or if some of you can just plain ordinary see those wafting energy vehicles of light transforming. Instead of seeing people in hairdos and blue jeans or whatever, you see these wafting, fascinating shapes and beings of light. And know something? It occurs to me as I say all that, that that's how I see our guidance. I see them as these wafting, high-frequency beings, some, the ones that are on a very, very high level. I see them as just the hints of these wafting lights of a very high level of frequency. But lower, I see them, and they're not low, capital L, it's just a little lower than these really, really high ones or beyond the source. Lower than that, I see them as shaped very like human beings with many different colors. Let me see. The colors, as it comes down lower and lower, the resonance seems lower and lower, and the colors become much more compacted. And so I want you to play tonight as we're doing this show. Play with seeing yourself. Play with seeing one another. Play with seeing me. Play with seeing your neighbors, your children, as these vibrational vehicles of light. And you can ask for help. You can call in the light from out there, the great streams of light that want to come down from the new downloads in the universes, or the ones that come from the great central sun, and bring them down and bring them in through your body mind, all the way through your body mind, until you can feel the wafting. Oh, goody. Until I'll be with you in a minute, caller. Until you can feel the wafting, pulsing, heating, cooling effects. Wonderful. Wonderful. And we're going to play with this. See if you can stay with those images for at least part of the night. Hi, we have a caller. You're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Veronica. It's Aaliyah.
Hi, Aaliyah. How you doing? You're wafting away over there yourself, aren't you?
Well, Well, I just called in, so I didn't hear the beginning, but I like the wafting.
Yeah. I'm asking everybody to see themselves as vibrational vehicles of light and play with the fact that you're pulsing, radiating, expanding and contracting, like that. That's what I meant.
Going in and out of form, from a wave to a particle to a wave, right?
Exactly. And I see it as more like the energy fluff, you know, like all the light energy fluff that goes around us. It's really beautiful. It's très belle, darling. How are you, Aaliyah? What are you doing for fun? Tell us all about it.
Well, I've been swimming in the ocean every day, and my favorite thing to do is to just do like a dead man float, only the other way around. So you just, you know, lay and put your head back and put your arms out straight like a starfish. And relax, because the ocean is like a great big pillow, as my mother used to say. The water, just think of the water as a pillow. And you just relax.
And so you float really well, I can tell, right?
No, yeah, with all that extra weight, you know. But no, it's the salt water, you know.
I thought you were extremely skinny.
Oh, yeah. I was, but it wasn't getting better.
Well, you're light inside. I can sure see that, right?
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. So do you have something to tell us or to ask or anything like that? Something to share? What's going on in your book and your cards, your tarot?
Oh, okay. Yeah, the tarot is coming along. I'm actually waiting for my editor to catch up with me. I've laid out the entire book. Since the editor usually comes through with tiny little changes, like, you know, noun-verb agreement, things like that, I figure I can, you know, lay out the whole book and get it done. But I wanted to share with you kind of like a little cute little revelation I had recently.
Good.
Where, you know, people talk about the ego and how, you know, they, you know, like a lot of spiritual practices think that you have to at least dissolve, if not kill off the ego. And I've always had an issue with that, you know, because following Castaneda's work, you know, they say, you know, the ego was the tonal. They say if the tonal dies, so does the whole man. So I don't think you can exist in duality without an ego. So I believe in making a friend of it. But that's been a long time I've been saying that, but what I felt the other day was just so delightful, I just wanted to share it with you.
Good, what was
it? I realized that the personality, or the ego, is construct, a thought form, shall we say, that has a kind of existence, because whenever you put a lot of emotion behind a thought, it starts to gain life, you know, you're giving it the energy of life. And I realized that I love my ego and all its little picadillos and strangeness and quirkiness and you know, all of these little preferences and identities and all this stuff that I've accrued to myself and built this thing out of, this marvelous creative venture. And I have no desire to kill it off or no desire to just enjoy the whole process, enjoy the whole thing, you know, this is
well,
really
tell
wonderful.
Me, Aaliyah, what is the ego? What is, tell people what it does. Where's the danger?
Well,
why do we call it dangerous for some people?
Well, it basically, I think the ego actually, if it has a physical location, it would be in the left brain.
Okay.
And the ego is a construct that happens in the process of separation. So I call this in my book on the tarot, the wound of incarnation. And the wound of incarnation is the initial wound that happens when a being that's only experienced oneness comes into a space where it experiences separation from itself, the experience of being an individuated, separate entity. And seemingly disconnected from what people would call source or the feeling of oneness. That's the wound of incarnation, and that's what makes the ego. And the ego is wounded in that because it's kind of like taking a child away from its mother too early. And it doesn't understand it. So it builds up all this false stuff around this experience to try to sort of explain it to itself. But the ego can be in what I call the divine triad, which is the combination the ego-mind, which is the mental body, the physical body and the subconscious. But you think of these things as like a triangle, right? So on one side you have the mental body, which is the ego, and on the other bottom of the triangle, point of the triangle, you have the subconscious and body, and at the top of the triangle you have your higher self, which is a larger part of you. And that can be in a perfect, beautiful, balanced partnership. It's supposed to be that way. And the ego has been taught that it has to control everything, which is how it tries to survive. And it has to lose that sense of having to survive in order to let go of its control, freaky control thing.
Well, so, I think that's a pretty interesting description. I often think that the ego, we shouldn't let ourselves be the ego. We have the ego. I think that's one of the biggest things. We can use the ego and we steer the ego, but I don't think we should be it.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to say it. Or the other way I like to say is that that people talk about detachment or attachments, and what they don't understand is that the only way to achieve attachment is to realize that attachment is only emotional. And so it's my detachment.
But some people are exceptionally emotional. You know that?
Well, I know I was.
Are you not anymore?
No, I don't feel a whole lot of emotion anymore. I mean, sometimes it'll come through me and wave through me, but I've put a lifetime of discipline of dismantling the unconscious emotion.
That's good. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because there's the lower two thirds of the emotional scale is what has to be dismantled and let go of in order to achieve a higher form of consciousness. But there's no way to get into that higher consciousness if you're still in fear and greed and suffering. That's not gonna cut the grade. You don't graduate. No, you don't graduate to out of grade school until you figure out that stuff. I call that the playpen.
Well, I think that's a really interesting idea. But also, I just am wondering how many have to get out of it in order for us to leap as a species out of that emotional content of the subconscious. I'm hoping that not that many more, but I'm afraid there's a few more to go.
Yeah, I don't know what the collective is doing or what they can do or what can be done. And to think on that level is kind of, you know, that's where I get back into emotional distress. I think the only thing I can do is focus on myself, and then, you know, hopefully that'll be enough, you know.
It's all about me, because that's, I agree with you there.
I mean, you can't change
it. But it is really interesting to realize that we are a very contagious species. We're very empathic. And it's certainly when you think about yourself enough and really work it through enough, you're really affecting a lot of people.
Well, that's why, you know, there's this sort of revelation I had about loving all the little quirkiness of my own character was just a really cool way to kind of turn it around and say, hey, you know. Oh, and the other thing I saw the other day, I was taking a walk on the beach. It was slightly, you know, I don't say depressed anymore. It was what Bashar calls compressed, and, you know, which is that inner looking and the, you know, for answers and stuff. So I take a walk on the beach, and it's late in the day. And all of a sudden, I perceived there was a big pink cloud that surrounded me. And it was delightful. And I said, well, this pink cloud, I mean, you know, is that an illusion? Is it just the sunset? What is it? And I'm like, well, you know what? It could be whatever you want it to be. So then I said to myself, well, how about if I just say intend, if from now on, this pink cloud surrounds me, and it's going to affect everyone who's around me. Or just share the pink cloud.
So, what do you think happened?
I don't really know. I just know I felt lighter, as I often do when I'm at the ocean, and it felt so good. And I'm like, well, you know what? Yeah. Oh, of course, pink is the color, one of those colors of the heart chakra, you know, pink and green, you know, heart chakra, you know, pink quartz and that stuff, rose quartz. So I figure, well, you know, it's whatever I want it to be. So how about if I just, you know, spread the love like I usually do? I'm usually doing that. I spend a lot of my time, you know, doing that, you know, just wherever I can. Being kind
that's
to people, fun. Being, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, it's an ongoing mission. You know, I told someone recently about this, and she was just amazed. And I was like, well, it's just...
why was she amazed? She was new at it, or she...
I guess so. I guess so. It was just kind of blowing her gaskets a little bit with what I was saying the other day. But she was taken in, and she said, oh, this is what gives me hope. There's more people who can hear what I'm saying than there were even a few months ago. So it's kind of like...
I really believe that. Boy, oh boy. I hear, even in the stores or whatever, you hear people talking in ways they're like, whoa, more and more people are waking up.
Yeah. Right? So it's happening, you know. I just cut a new audio piece I'll probably make into an audio book or a class, or I don't know what yet. It's downloadable files. About fear and the nature of evil, and what evil really is, and how it works in the world, and how it's a gift to us. The concept of evil, not the actual thing, because there's no thing except in the mind of man. But the concept of evil is actually a very important evolutionary device. And
we live in a duality world, right?
Exactly. Duality requires balance. Evil is balance for good when you live in a polarized perception of the world. But
well, that's right.
You know, it came to me. Yeah, it came to me when somebody was sort of like, well, what do you think about the journalist killing last night? And, you know, they were telling me, and I'm like, first I'm like, here we go again. You know, and then I'm like, well, wait a minute. That was a gift that somebody comes to me with that, because I have no reply to these people who want to, confirm the existence of evil. You know, there's a lot of people that is sort of like, I call it the frisson, the French call it frisson, which is like a thrill, you know, that shiver that goes up your spine, that, you know, when people hear evil.
Half our movies are made for that.
Yeah, and the fascination that people have with it now and how that works on people. And so when I was sort of digesting that all night, woke up this morning, I'm like, oh no, here we go again. I'm going to do another audio file. I guess this is coming out today. But it was a lot, you know, they're getting so much easier to do.
Well, that's great. Well, I'm going to go off and do my structures now, because otherwise we'll run out of time. But I thank you so much for your participation, and it's good to hear from you, and I'm glad you were in the ocean. Spreading, what we're doing is spreading pink light throughout the entire ocean.
That's right, pink.
pink, yay, cloud. This is the rising of the feminine, would you say?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
All right, thanks for your call, Leah. Big hugs to you.
Take care.
Okay. So this is Veronica Entwistle, and I'm saying it's time to do our structures. And remember, we're talking about how the fields and frequencies are changing. You're a vibrational vehicle of light. And to me tonight, and hopefully amongst some of you, you are these wafting, amazing beings. And when we reach with our intention and our heart to be wafting, and as Leah says, radiating pink heart light, and I'm just seeing a lot of like gold, silver, salmon, pink light, all kinds of wafting higher and higher. To me, higher means up above a lot of that old subconscious stuff and radiating to one another. Hey, there's a whole new world out there. Let's go. So let's call in. Let's do our structures now. Meditation, coherent group for all of us. Let's call in. First of all, we're going to take a couple of deep breaths. Everybody needs a couple of deep breaths. And your wafting lights go, whoa, whoa. One more. And let's call in the golden light from the great central sun and have it come down to the top of your head. Oh, I forgot, there's a ball up there. I have a big golden ball up there. Drop the light down through the top of your head, down through your spine, and into a golden ball underneath, 40 feet under your spine. And drop a pyramid of light from the upper golden ball to about waist height, and upside down another pyramid pointing into the lower golden ball. So you've got yourself an amazing diamond here. And inside of that diamond, there's a beautiful crystal ball. And the outside edges of the crystal ball just sort of kiss the inside edges of your diamond. And inside that, there's a star, and you're in the star, and it's a three-dimensional star. It's your star tetrahedron, or your light body, your Merkaba, or however you want to call it, right? And you're inside of it, and I want you to spin and spin and spin in your star, spin and spin. And as you spin, those of you who are still paying attention to your wafting vibrational vehicle of light, see it wafting and flashing as you go spinning and spinning around. And as you spin, see in front of you a magical screen, and on the screen we're going to print several movies. The first movie that you're creating right now is you becoming who it is you want to become. Okay, besides wafting and being amazing light beings, I want to see myself becoming a vibrational vehicle of light, but I also want to see myself becoming consciously multidimensional. Consciously multidimensional. Good. And whatever it is you want to become, you're welcome to do that. And when you see yourself becoming what it is you've set up, wrap that in light and move it over to the side. And now we have a second movie, and that movie is you creating something you want to create. It can be home and family, it can be a house, it can be a world trip, it can be a book, a movie, anything you want. Just see yourself creating all the resources, the people, the places, the time, it's making me yawn. Anything you need to create your project is just flowing to you now, flowing. That's it. All of them, the time, the money. Good. And when you feel like you can see your project coming to its completion, right? We don't give up there. We now spend a minute or two and we think of, see, and envision all of the time, the resources, the money, the people, all coming together to sustain your project for its natural life length. That's right. And I see you really enjoying that. Wrap it in light, move it over to the side, and now we're creating the Galactic Healing Center. I want you to look at your bank of guides and angels, and they are kind of wafting characters too. Because what we're talking about is you and I and all these different levels of consciousnesses being these pulsing, expanding vehicles of light. And the light and information that they present are different colors, different wavelengths, pulsing, changing. And the highest ones are the ones, to me, that are really radiant. You almost can't see their colors. And the ones that are closer to you, that are a little bit closer to humanity, are more staunchly colored, and some have faces and bodies and so on. So let's choose from the great teams that each of you has. Choose your healing team and have them stand around this table. Good. There's a healing table there. Have them all move around the table. And you're the one who's going to jump on that table and ask for what it is you want them to help you with. That's it. Now, as you know, I fell, and I'm still a little bit in pain on my left arm. Most of my body's all better. my left arm and a little bit of my attitude are still going through some recovery. So I'm laying on the table and asking for help for that arm. And I'm going to ask that you ask for whatever it is you need. Good. And we might even have some advice for you. Wow, this is really interesting because my arm is just going crazy right now. Not hurting, it's got like huge vibration going on. Thank you. What's going on with you? I hope you'll be calling in after you tell me. Now wrap that in light and it'll keep going. The healing can keep going on and on. Wrap it in light, move it over to the side. And then we have a fresh healing table and our healing team replicates themselves. And let's bring in someone. Here's a woman who's had tremendous fragility. And this woman has been sickly for a long time and in a ton of pain. And now she's had the opportunity to go and live with a healer across the country. And what she's afraid of is that she won't be able to travel and make the trip because she's too vulnerable. So what we're going to do is ask that healing team to work with her and let her know specifically, and you're going to hear this, my dear, specifically, what is the best thing for her to do? Should she go be with this person? Is it a perfect opportunity, or is it going to be dangerous for her health? And is there a way for her to break out of some of the edicts of her health condition? Especially now when the frequencies are moving so fast. And a lot of the frequencies of pain are dense pockets of frequency which don't seem to disperse no matter what we do. There we go. Now they're wrapping much light around her and they're telling her what she ought to do. That's right. And they're loving you very much. Okay, now we're going to wrap that in light and let that keep going. Wrap it in light, move it over to the left. And now we have another, we're going to bring in two tables. And this is a couple. Now this is friends, the two friends. And one of the things that happens with friends, or any people actually, there are moments where you don't agree. Now why don't we agree with each other? Because we take a notion, don't we? Each of us has an idea, and it's really difficult to agree on an idea, especially if you and I have had some kind of thing happen, maybe in another lifetime or maybe in childhood or somewhere along the way, where you've had a bit of trauma around a certain subject. Okay, so what we say then is, oh, this one triggered you, or you've been triggered, right? Okay, so now we've got two people here. Instead of having them lie down, I'm having them sit on their tables and look at each other. And I notice one of them is saying something. Just hang on a sec. I'm not sure what she's saying. It's just two women right now. We could have a pair, two women, and we could have two men to make it like not a sexual thing, but just a friendship kind of, you know. Of course, that would be sexual too, but I'm saying here, what we want is just two sets of friends here. This one over here is women. This one over here is men. I think that changes some of the natures of the battles, or the triggers is a better way to put it. And now, one of them is saying something. Oh, this is interesting. One of them is saying something, and the other one is misinterpreting because of something that happened yesterday. Now that's the women. Now, let's go over here. And this fellow is really taking a reaction of something. Again, something, this time it was a political situation or an interpretation of some quasi-political activity that went on. And the misinterpretation is huge. So I would say in the first one, well, in both of them, look what's happening. In both cases, the one person is saying something and the other person is reacting. And you know what that means, don't you? Means that that other person that's reacting hasn't really listened. I'm not saying that the one reacting is wrong. I'm saying if he, she doesn't listen, then the reactions are simply coming from, well, Leah was talking about ego and stuff, and I think there's an aspect about the ego that can be very defensive because it's trying to hold its position, whatever that is. And so when I'm looking at this, I'm seeing in both cases, these people are literally not, thank you, not hearing each other at all. We have a caller, but I'm going to finish this thought, okay? So they're not hearing each other at all. So what are we going to do? We're in the healing structures now. Let's each of this pair of people, I'm going to ask you to do this. We're bringing some light in. Remember, we're wafting healing lights. And we're going to ask you to feel and see what it's like to literally say nothing but listen. Just listen and listen to the other person. All right? Not allowed to talk. No way. Okay. And now we're going to wrap that in light and we're going to switch places. The person who did all the talking is now going to be very quiet, and the other person is going to be talking. So the quiet one is going to be listening and can't be reacting. You cannot react when you're doing this. You just have to sit there and listen, okay? And it's really hard. One of you is having a horrible time with this. And shutting down is one defense because then you don't get triggered. But if you shut down, you're not actually listening, are you? Right? Do you want to do it one more time? So what I'm saying to you is when you are in probably any kind of agreement, disagreement situation, practice. Even if you, I like to say, imagine you have in your pocket glow-in-the-dark pink duct tape and slap some of it across your mouth. And that will sort of tease you a little bit to be very, very quiet and listen. You might not want to because it isn't always easy, right? But sometimes if you do that, I remember an old exercise, if you did that for a long time, like 15 or 20 minutes, where one person spoke and the other person couldn't say anything, the one that was irate and spoke for the 20 minutes usually had collapsed into tears and frustration before it came to the end of his 20 minutes or her 20 minutes. So then instead of it being about you, if you're the quiet one, it became about themselves touching a pain or a wound in themselves. And then the two of them had the opportunity to hug and hear each other differently. So it's like you don't have to do the 20 minutes, but just to stop and listen. Stop and listen, even though you're ready to swing from the chandeliers. Now let's wrap that in light. And I want you to see if you can sit there and be, we're wrapping you in light, moving you over to the side again, but you want to sit there and be in the listening mode, if you can do that for a while. It's a wonderful exercise. So before we do the final one, let's take our caller. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, Veronica.
Hi. Who have I got?
You have Rebecca calling.
Hi, Rebecca. How are you, honey?
I just got a lot going on, so I was just calling to see what the guides had to say about prioritizing.
Well, let's give us a start. Oh, okay. How's your tummy, Rebecca?
How's my stomach?
Yeah.
It's okay. Well, actually, a lot of times it's tense, and at night, then I'll release it. And then I'll go back and do a check, I don't know, a minute or two later, and it's tense again.
Yeah, there's something going on with you. You're going through, you're saying priorities. I'm going, wow, at some deep level, there's a huge overwhelm. Something in you is trying to release and absolutely let go. And I don't know if you're conscious of it yet, because it isn't always conscious. When it's belly stuff, you know what? We're not usually conscious of it, are we?
No.
But there's a big pressure going on around you. Now, when you said prioritize, do you have a man in your life? Because something about a man here and no man?
No.
Authority? Leader? Bossy?
Oh, maybe a minister at my church. That might okay. be it.
Are you mad at him?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Then we've got the right person because, you know, we just did this disagreement exercise, and you really need to find that there's something happening in your belly which is being triggered by something he's asking you to do or wanting from you. And when I go into your belly, and I'm because I'm an empath, you know, and I'm going to that situation, I feel this incredible kind of nausea in there. You know that? And I feel like you don't really know where the trigger is that's happened deep down, if that makes sense. Are you writing a book? What are you writing?
Nothing.
You should, you know.
Oh, be journaling?
Something. What kind of work do you do?
Oh, I was actually working in a nursery with plants and stuff. And then what happened is I called you when we were doing Ho'oponopono. And we were talking about my Achilles tendon. Well, in the meantime, my ankle broke. So my 2x4 from God has showed up about needing to stop. Mm-hmm.
How's the pain? How's the pain level?
It's not bad at all.
And left or, is it the left or right?
Right.
Okay.
If it had to break, it was, there's no pins, no surgery. It was a perfect fracture. I mean, you know, it could have been a lot worse. So I'm grateful for it not being, you know, where I couldn't walk for 6 weeks or anything like that. I do have a walking cast.
Okay. But you're not tap dancing, right?
No.
I'm teasing you anyway.
Well, I was thinking it, if you are picking that up, another one of my things is I have neighbors upstairs who let their kid run and run and run. They never take them outside.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Yeah. So I've been trying to do white light and block the negative energy. It's hard to do when I'm dealing with the physical stuff with my leg. I don't know.
Are you in pain? Do you have pain?
Well, sometimes.
Here's what I'm thinking. One of the hardest things for you as far as focusing goes is that there's turmoil in your gut. And that turmoil is preventing your brain from figuring things out on a linear, logical way because you're it's like a swill of deep emotional change that's trying to go on. I want to say, Rebecca, that the best thing is that you're changing radically. The hardest thing is that in the change, we always have to go into chaos in order to change. And your chaos is in a subconscious arena. And I don't know what's going on with your minister, but even looking at you and seeing that turmoil in the belly, I'm a little annoyed with him. Has he given you a lecture or something?
No, the church is helping me out with expenses. And he feels like it's too expensive to have a car, so he didn't pay my auto insurance. Well, it's kind of expensive to have a car, so I'm not going to pay this. And then he wants me to get rid of my landline because I have a cell phone. I like my landline. So it's him feeling like he's fixing the situation by picking and choosing what I should have and shouldn't have. And that just irritates me.
Well, he's being authoritarian, isn't he?
Oh, very much so. Oh, and giddy like a schoolgirl because he comes up with these ideas that's going to help me. Where I'm like, this is a temporary situation. I can get myself out of it. I just need temporary help. So he is providing it, but he's picking and choosing based on what he feels I should and shouldn't have. And that irritates me.
Well, he's very autocratic at this point. But I want to say that he's probably annoying you even more because of the way your dad's been. And when did your dad, is your dad on the other side?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I feel like he's triggering, his behavior is triggering something that's very, very painful in you. And in terms of your healing, it would really help. Like I asked you if you write to journal or talking to a tape or something about authority or a patriarchy. Because the thing with you is you have to come up with a new level of who Rebecca is and go forward in a new style. It has to be your way. It has to be, because it's all about who you are, right? And that's the learning curve you're on. And so I would say that I'd be writing about what authority would have me do and what I would prefer to do and all of that, because you're blocking yourself because you're annoyed with whatever the authority imprint is in your belly. Your belly looks like it's in terrible turmoil to me right now. And it's not probably in, it might be physiological turmoil, but it's a really important turmoil. Because I'll tell you what, everybody, this is a changing time on the planet. The vibrations are really, really changing fast, and you can hitch a ride on them. You can run them through your body, and yours is already swilling like mad there, miss. And if you can get, if you can mobilize a forward direction in there, the direction would be to release old programs, release my dad, release my grandfathers, release anybody that you can think of that has authoritative doodah in your history. Because, and you might even get diarrhea as you do. And this is true to everybody. Remember this old, old thing we've talked about on this show for years. I release you, I forgive you, I love you. I release myself, forgive myself, love myself. I release you, I forgive you, I love you. You know, bring it up, spit it out. Because all of a sudden, Miss Rebecca, you're going to move totally out of this position. And I think you will stay at the church, but I don't think he'll ever get to you again, if you know what I mean.
And I'll never what?
I don't think he'll get to you anymore. And I think you're going to have a whole new kind of job. Have you got somebody in mind or some job in mind?
No.
Well, you don't want to work back in a nursery.
I actually love it, to be honest. It's less stress. Yeah, less stress. I get to water, so I'm around water. That I really, really enjoy. But, you know, that would be outdoor stuff, so maybe that ends up being, like, in my home environment if I have a yard. You know, that could be another way to fulfill that.
Well, I feel like there's a different, like, for example, if you were working as the worker in then you might, in a nursery, you look like you'd be going in as a business person or as the manager or something like that.
That's really more of what my field is management.
And I think as you get older, I don't know how old you are, but as you get older, you're going to find yourself reaching with your mind to manage several things as if you're the mother figure. And you'll like that. You'll feel a real sense of power. And also duty, but flexibility, because if you're managing, unless it's just a huge corporate structure, you'll have some fluidity in terms of what it is you see as opportune and who lets you do it, you know?
Right.
I think you've got some very interesting options coming up. And I would say it might take a little while yet, but it'd probably be over by October, November, all kinds of things starting to come to you.
So just so, don't stress out about all the financial stuff and wonder if I should move and do all that. Work on my inner work.
Yeah, work on your inner work. But, honey, I would also say, and this is true for people at home too, write, doodle, just blah, 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 because stuff comes up when we do that, especially when we're under duress. Keep that belly churning, if you know what I mean. Keep stirring it with your mind's eye. And then keep jotting notes, even if you use your non-dominant hand and jot three words here and three words there. You're going to start getting hits like, ah, I know what I want to do. And it'll be a lot more fun. You felt really compressed by a lot of situations for the last while. You won't be compressed anymore. A lot of beauty around you, Rebecca. A lot of beauty.
Okay. Yeah, I was actually in the hospital for depression and anxiety when I fell at the hospital and just reeled me into the emergency room. And they said, have you ever been a patient here? And I said, well, I am right now. So, so I had to drop out of that program. No, it was a day program, and I can't drive. So
What was the day program?
It was at a hospital dealing with anxiety and depression.
Okay.
Because I'd gotten really, really down. So I was there a week, and then this happened.
How are you doing now with the anxiety?
Oh, it's out of control.
Are you taking things like turmeric? Turmeric's supposed to be very good for that.
Taking what?
Turmeric.
Turnic?
Turmeric. Okay. It's a herb. It's a spice.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's supposed to be very good for both body pain and also for anxiety.
Okay.
And the thing about that, you don't have to worry about it being addictive, right?
Right. Right. Okay.
And the other thing, honey, is writing and breathing deeply. And the final thing is, and this is true for everybody, trust, because we're talking about you wafting as vehicles of light, but trust that this energy is coming through and trust that you have a right to use it in your body, mind, too. It'll help you with your anxiety. You'll surrender. You'll trust.
Okay.
All righty?
Okay.
And eat lots of veggies, Rebecca.
Yeah, one real quick thing. This would have been my son's birthday today, and he would be 15, but he passed away at birth. Is he coming through at all for saying anything?
What's his name?
It was Salvador.
Now, there he is. Okay, there he is. He, I get him. He's very, very beautiful. He's an energy field. He's very beautiful. He loves you. He loves you. And he bears something like this. He bears, he's going to show you, he's learned so much. He has so much to share with you. He loves you and he has so much to share with you. He's going to try to, he's funny, you know. He's going to try to help you over the next while. And you will be amazed. You'll get some little insights from him. And it really is him. He's
okay.
He's an old being. Did you ever feel like he might be an old soul?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. He's an old soul, and also he's really quite funny. But he seems to be pulling at you like your energy fields are a little bit magnetic, and he's pulling them out so that they're getting fluffed up, and he's showing me that he's working with you to give you a sense of your own power and expansion. He loves you very dearly. He's learning a lot right now, and so are you.
Okay. Well, that makes me feel good. So have a great evening. I just love your show.
Well, and I just love that you called in, Rebecca. Take care of that right foot, and you can pray that I'm taking care of my left arm. So there we are.
Okay. Make half of a whole person, huh?
That's right. We have a lot to learn, and we're doing a good job.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Okay,
all
bye.
All right, honey. Big hugs to you. Well, this is Veronica Entwistle saying, wow, what an interesting time we're having. How many of you are feeling like huge expansions going on in your lives? Remember, if you hate your job, if you're having trouble, we already did. Oh, we haven't finished our structures. I'll finish that in a minute. But we should finish the structures actually. So let's bring in, throw up the structures again, and let's bring in a table and let's do the political one. I want you to bring in. I was thinking of the refugees of all through Europe. We're talking about immigrants here, but all around Europe, there are people desperate for their lives, landing in boats and trying to get away from war-torn areas. Please, God, bring that whole issue of wars and combat and killing one another and then not having any place for refugees to go. Some of the stories would just tear your heart out. So let's just see all of this pulsing humanity seething and trying to find its place in the world, find out who it is, who any of these beings are, families, little kids, old people, healthy people, sick people, and just gather them all and bring them in. And let's all draw in the light. I'm asking all the healing team to bring their healing teams, to bring their healing teams, to bring their healing teams. So we have thousands and thousands and thousands, probably billions, there you are, of light beings around all of these people. That's right. And please, God, let's help us all push past the old combative style so that we can live into oneness. And let's see the beautiful lights coming from the great central sun and the universes out there, coming in and absolutely flooding the hearts of these beings, of the pulsing of the perineum of these beings, and have them feel that no matter what their circumstances, that God and the universes absolutely love them and shares a heart with them. That's right. There we go. So we're just infusing a lot of higher frequency light and some huge solutions, and then I want to wrap that in light. And now we're going to call in again the high frequency energies coming through the universes, down through the top of your head, whirl round and round into your heart, round and round into your shoulders, down your arms, into your hands, till your fingers tingle. And then see yourself patting all over the world, all over our planet, anywhere that there's been pain, suffering, sickness. Corruption is a big one these days. All of that, anything that is not one with all of life, pat the light on them. Pat, 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 pat. Feel that light go round and round and round the planet. Come back up through your hands, through your arms, roll round and round in your heart. Shoot up through the top of your head, out into the great central sun. And then I want you to turn around and close off the Galactic Healing Center. Jump into the star tetrahedron and let's spin and spin and spin. Spin like mad until you just know you're moving your frequencies. You're moving to a higher and higher level. And I will say to you all, thank you so much for listening to Radiance by Design. Tune in to my website, veronicaantwistle.com. Let me know how you are. Hit the Ask Veronica button. And any ideas you have for guests or any feedback about these shows. And also, just to receive the love. Good night, and thank you for listening.